League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome to Microbrew, Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the show. Kurt Hoge is here with me in studio at the downtown offices of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Welcome, Kurt. You don't get down here very often. It's very exciting when you're here.
Yes, normally I'm covering a baseball team.
That's true. That's true. There's no baseball to cover, and we are facing a cold, dark winter. So you'll be down here more often, which is
we
nice.
We so are facing it. Like that, I hadn't even pondered the possibility. Winter. Not the possibility, the reality of impending winter.
It's happening.
Until like Thursday, the day after the Brewers got eliminated. I was like, oh,
winter.
No. Oh, no. Baseball season's over. That means it's winter.
Yeah, we're already in the sweater / spring coat at the very least phase of the fall season, which I think most people look forward to some degree. I look forward to it, but it's a very short-lived window. And let's be honest, people say they like winter. They say they like snow and snow sports and just being outside in the cold. You know what? No.
Sickos.
No one actually feels that way. People who say that are being contrarian.
Give me 80 degrees,
100%. Please. Well, for me, it's more like 65 to 70, but whatever. I'm being picky. The Milwaukee Brewers, Kurt. We are fresh here, recording this moments after Matt Arnold – met the media on Tuesday at American Family Field. It's something that happens kind of on a regular basis every year, sort of just a little bit of an exit interview with Matt Arnold. He and David Stearns before him. They are gracious enough to do these things. They have been, I think, pretty typically fairly candid, I would say, some of the things that have been said. This one, I don't know. And Matt Arnold has been really gracious to us over the year, and his first year on the job, and I think he's doing a great job and has made some moves that made the better, quite honestly. And he's a very easy guy to talk to. I didn't really get a lot out of this one. I felt like there were no revelations. If you're looking for answers about things like the big picture stuff, like what's Craig Counsell going to do? How healthy is Brandon Woodruff? Are they going to trade Corbin Burns? You didn't get any of those answers. You probably didn't even necessarily expect them. I thought maybe we'd get a little on Counsell. We didn't get that. But I'm going to open it up to you first, Kurt. Just, if there was anything, I mean, there's fine. There was nothing wrong with it. I just don't know if we've gleaned anything that we didn't already know. But I know there's at least one thing that you were intrigued by. So give me your overall sense.
I think the answer about Corbin Burns was like maybe the only real intriguing thing of substance. Like these things are not meant to be
newsbreakers.
Yeah, general manager reveals all. The general managers, for the most part, do not reveal all. Like this is just the era that we live in sports and baseball, where it's going to be GM speak, and that's basically what it was.
It's nice to get to talk to him at all, actually.
Yeah. It was nice to have those 30 minutes, but it was mostly 30 minutes of GM speak,
mm-hmm.
which that's what they do. That's their job.
Yep.
But there was an answer about Corbin Burns specifically. He was brought up, and what's the expectation for this offseason? What's the message about this? Amid the speculation that he's going to get traded, because there's going to be a lot of speculation. So What do you have to say about that? And Arnold basically said that he expects Corbin to be a Milwaukee Brewer in 2024. It feels like it should be groundbreaking news. Yet at the same hand, I'm not sure I'd entirely believe it. Like it could just be GM speak, but I think it does. It launches us into the topic of what should the Brewers do with Corbin Burns, which is far more compelling radio than trying to dissect if Matt Arnold is lying or not.
Yeah, I guess, to your point, what you're saying is he could have easily danced around that. I mean, it sounds like,
it's been
very important to us. Mm-hmm. We need to do what's in the best interest of the organization. I mean, whatever. Like,
we would love to have him back, but we have to do our due diligence.
Right.
And everyone in Milwaukee knows about their due diligence, so it wouldn't be earth-shattering to simply say that, they field offers on everybody.
Right. And he did say they're not going to shut down any conversation, of course.
Correct.
And it just – but you're right. Like I think we've all been operating under a couple assumptions, one of them being Corbin Burns has probably thrown his last pitch for the Milwaukee Brewers. And the reason being, so Corbin Burnes, for people who, I'm sure most people are aware of this, but Burnes, Woodruff, and Willy Adames, they all become free agents after the 2024 season.
And Eric Lauer.
Uh-huh. And so they all become free agents at the same time. And that means that you got to move now because you're not going to get maximum value. I mean, we've seen some of these trades at the deadline for, I mean, Josh Hader comes to mind. He's a reliever, different case, but didn't, in other cases, not trades not even involving the Brewers, the return, underwhelming. You know, it's just not what you maybe would have expected for a frontline pitcher. And it's because at the deadline, you're only getting, what are you getting, 8 starts in the most optimistic of scenarios? 9 starts? I don't know, but that's just not what you want to do. So if the Brewers are going to move on from Corbin Burnes, if there's no chance of a long-term extension, then of course it makes sense to do that in the offseason when you still have a full year of control available in that contract. Now, you know, as far as we know, long-term conversation, that door seems pretty closed. I mean, the arbitration thing from last spring sure made it sound like the club and the player are kind of a little bit at odds. I mean, Burnes was a professional and I think had a pretty good season. Not his best season, but a good season. And so it just doesn't feel like an extension is going to happen here. But the Brewers are facing some uncertainty around Brandon Woodruff with his health, so that puts them presumably down one more possibility for their rotation next year. They do not have a surge of great guys coming up through the minors who are starting pitcher capable. There's a couple names. Jacob Mizorowski comes to mind, Robert Gasser. But I think it's fair to ask questions about those guys. Mizorowski may be a reliever. Gasser, is he like a frontline starter? Where, you know, your best bet still, if you want great pitching, is Burnes, Woodruff, and Peralta. That's just how it is. So I guess there's a lot to consider there. I still just, unless Kurt, you feel differently about the extension thing, I just don't know how they couldn't need this to be the time to trade Corbin Burnes to get maximum value, right?
Yeah, I've been operating under the not only presumption, but the idea that they probably like should trade Corbin Burnes. You get a pretty good player and maybe multiple players back for even a year of him. There are teams that are in desperate need of starting pitching. Have you watched the Baltimore Orioles?
Baltimore.
And not only them, but like there's some big markets that need starting pitching. The Yankees need starting pitching. The Dodgers need starting pitching.
The Braves, man.
The Braves need some start. Like
every team needs.
And this starting pitching market in free agent class is not great. Blake Snell had a great year. He'll get paid. Aaron Nola should get paid, but he's even coming off a bit of a bummer of a year.
Yeah, I bet the Phillies keep him.
There's a good track record there. Cardinals will probably pay him like $500 million.
That's a good point.
And there's a couple of guys like Giolito had a down year. Shohei Ohtani's not pitching next year, so that throws a huge wrench maybe in some teams' plans for their pitching. So I figured that Corbin Burnes would kind of be setting the market here for starting pitchers on trades. He still would, but the Woodruff injury is the one that makes me sort of question it a little bit. Like, I think you could still have a really, really good pitching staff with a healthy Woodruff at the top of it. I have more questions about that now, especially like I'm not sure what they're going to be able to go out and get in free agency. They don't usually spend much money there, although they, you know, like if they got Wade Miley again for, you know, a type of player like that for the money that they paid him, that'd be great, but that's kind of hard to – you can't expect that much for that little money. But once we get the Woodruff news, maybe I might have a little bit more of a formal opinion on like, you know, what they should do with Corbin Burnes. But it still feels to me like maybe you should trade him. But I'm going a little bit in the opposite direction now, wondering like, is it just worth it to put your chips in the basket again, make a run with these guys, try to capitalize on what you got. And then if it doesn't work in 4 months, you can still get, you know, like look what Max Scherzer got at the deadline. They still got a top like 50 prospect in baseball for Max Scherzer while eating his contract. So
yeah,
you could still get a good return for him in August. It just feels like someone would be willing to overpay a little bit. And by someone, I mean Baltimore Orioles.
Yes. I mean, look at the Orioles prospects.
They have so many. Too many prospects. I do believe you can have too many prospects.
Yes. They need to trade them to the Milwaukee Brewers.
Use your capital to help your team and get like actual good players. Not saying that those prospects won't be good players, but you got so many.
Yes. Okay, so to go back, you use the example with Scherzer. That's true. You are able to get top flight prospects, but I think where the Brewers are, they're not going to get somebody who can be a good starter for them in exchange for a good starter for Corbin Burns. You're going to get prospects. You're going to get guys who are wildly unproven. Of course you are. Or you know, maybe AAA guys, even AA guys. Like, that's what you're going to get. So you will be robbing your 2024 pitching depth and possibly even 2025. And they don't have the guys who are going to fill those spots. They don't have, outside of, like you said, some fringe free agent signings, they don't have those guys, and that's going to be a huge step down. They do have the guys offensively in this system filtering up, starting with Tyler Black, and certainly Jackson Churio will be here within a year. You know, I think in 2024, I'm pretty sure in 2024, but probably yes, full speed in 2025. I mean, they have those pieces. So I could see the Brewers being like, yeah, we could trade Corbin Burns for some prospects. But does that really help us? It just robs what we have and gives us more of what we've already got, you know?
Yeah. Well, it theoretically would help on the offense, which
– well, of course.
I don't know if you knew this was bad.
Yes, it was. I'm just saying they have an obvious fix to that part of it. What they don't have an obvious fix to is creating the pitching staff that they have right now. There's no – you know, Jacob Mizorowski is really, really good. But he didn't pitch that much this year. I don't think – I would say that he's probably going to pitch at some point in 2024, but I wouldn't say for sure.
In the big leagues?
Yes,
in the big leagues. I could see it, yeah.
He probably will. He probably will.
Even if it's in relief, yeah.
But and a lot of – you know, Keith Law, a lot of people tell you that's a guy who profiles as a reliever because he has a very funky delivery.
The Brewers don't see it that way.
I'm sure they don't. And they shouldn't start that way, you know, like start him as a starter like they did with Josh Hader. I'm just saying – you're not going to get back in a trade what's going to help you in the short term for Corbin Burns.
But maybe you do.
Okay. Walk me through it.
Okay. I'm not saying like 4 WAR level of value from Corbin Burns, but the Brewers starting pitching staff was worth, I was looking this up yesterday, approximately like 11 wins this year.
Okay.
They won 92 games.
That's true.
Now, there's various ways and equations to get to 90 wins to get to a playoff spot. You don't even need 90 wins to make the playoffs anymore. You could do with a bit of a hit to your starting pitching staff, still like do what the Brewers do and piece together like a 9-win staff, 10-win staff. Like 11-win staff is not that great. Let's just be very clear on that.
Okay.
And they still won 92 games. So you can piece together a number like that, I would think, through assuming Brandon Woodruff is healthy, you would be able to do that. And then, like, because the Brewers are sort of in the power position in any negotiations here, they don't have to trade Corbin Burns. You know, like, they're fine running it back, and they're saying that publicly on purpose. And if you're going to want him, you're going to have to pay, and you're going to have to meet what the price is. And that's probably like, I don't know, look at the Orioles, for example, the Orioles prospects. It's like, these guys are big league ready. Give me one of those. Give me two of those. And you're helping out your 2014 significantly by adding depth, by adding serious talent. You could add it at positions you need in the future, maybe shortstop, who knows. I just think the Brewers are in a position of power with Burns. And I just – the more I talk about it, the less I'm convinced there's a clear right answer on what to do.
Yeah, there isn't a clear right answer. We know this. But let me blow your mind for a second. The record that the Brewers had in games that Corbin Burns pitched in – this is regular season – 15-8. Would you like to know the record of the games that they had when Adrian Hauser appeared in a game?
Burns was what?
15-8. That was the record of the Brewers in games pitched by Corbin Burns.
He pitched like 32 games though.
Oh, that's true.
Hold on. What is this website doing to us?
I don't know. This is Baseball Reference. Okay. So the story was that he has the same record as Adrian Hauser. But clearly, you're right. Clearly, there's something wrong here. So let me cross back on that.
It was probably worse than 15-8.
It probably was. Yeah. So yes, I confess that I screwed that up. I definitely had Adrian Hauser's numbers pulled up twice, which is why they have the exact same record. However, I'll say Wade Miley also 15-8, and this time I'm pretty sure of that because I did double check that just now. But this is a preposterous exercise because we know that Corbin Burns in many cases didn't get the run support. 18-14, by the way, is the record of the Brewers in games that Corbin Burns pitched. That is obviously not on Burns. We are not going to be arbitrators here or arguing in the Brewers' case to say that he is the reason they did not do well.
Although we may have just supplied them with some ammo.
We might have by accident. They don't listen to it, Microbrew. But the point being is that they, to go to your point here, they have mechanisms in place where they can get guys who are lesser pitchers and still succeed because the defense is very good. It turns a guy like Wade Miley into a very reliable pitcher. These are not even all starts for Adrian Hauser, but still, he was able to be effective. He was effective enough, and they were able to, you know, do enough for him offensively and defensively to make him a quality pitcher. So to your point, they maybe could do that. And here's the other thing, Kurt. I'm looking at the postseason. I want to draw all kinds of postseason conclusions from short samples.
Yes, you should.
Very fun to do. Do they need three great pitchers to be good in the postseason? Because I got to tell you, Arizona's got two of them. And I don't even know if Arizona, like, has anybody beyond these two. Like, no offense to Brandon Pfaadt, but not sure that that's a guy I would want to see anywhere near a mound at this point. And he is their clear-cut number three option in the postseason. And all Arizona has done is won all four of their playoff games as we record this. And they have the Los Angeles Dodgers on the ropes. The way that the off days work, you just don't need that many pitchers. You get to the postseason. Obviously, if you get to the NLCS and the World Series, you're going to need starts from guys who aren't number one and number two. But it's not like having three studs is a whole lot better than having two studs. You're still kind of in the same boat in the postseason, right?
Yeah, and the thing you need to do is score runs.
Of course you do.
And I know it's 10-game sample, like they're 1-9 in their last 10. But it's 17 runs in that time, and that is indicative of where – I mean, not entirely. Like 17 runs is really bad. But that is the sort of performance that you can get when you have an offense that has performed like they have over the last 5 years. Like in a 10-game sample, it is very much in the realm of possibility. Like you talk about anything can happen in the playoffs. Yeah, well, when your offense is terrible for 5 years,
yeah,
ranks like 22nd in WRC plus in the last 5 years – it's very much in the realm of possibility that you score 17 runs over 10 games.
Especially when you're facing the best pitchers that other teams have to offer.
Yes, and there are paths to the offense getting better for sure in 2024. I think I come back to you probably do trade Burns because I've just seen the same equation not work out time and time and time again. You got to score runs. You got to hit homers. And the Brewers need guys that score runs and hit homers outside of like three, like Willie Adames had a good stretch there. But like two guys going into the postseason, you look at that line and be like, yeah, he had a good offensive year. And I guess like more prospects is more questions for sure. But I think, like I said, the Brewers are sort of in a position where they can pick and choose like more offensive secure or certain profiles because I'm not certain about a lot of their – like the rookies this year, if they can hit, like can Bryce Turang hit? I don't know.
Yeah,
we've talked about his path to being like a really good player, but Joey Weimer didn't have a great year. Sal Frelick's numbers, 83 mile an hour average exit velocity. I'm not sure. So I just think you want to add more paths in the future to create a good offense.
Yeah,
because I think that's what this team might be shifting towards in the next 5 years is like from pitching and defense to offense and still defense?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I mean, to be clear, Arizona was just as bad an offense as the Brewers were. Maybe a tick better, probably a tick better. But, you know, you can't really draw conclusions from how things went in the postseason. Although it is nice that they did mash homers, at least to this point, and it has benefited them. Part of me is like, just punt on the pitching thing, man. Like, it worked.
This is what's so maddening about this.
In 2018. Yeah, just do it.
What's so maddening about all of this is like, you're like going off some playoff games to, you know, you want to draw something from and you're like, I can't do that.
You
it's
can't.
Only a few games. But then you're like, yes, I have seen what happens in front of me.
Right.
I am drawing conclusions on this offense. So it is a tricky game. But I at least do think the Brewers are in a good position of power with Burns where you're fine with him. And honestly, like, because you can get anything you need or get what you want in return, you're fine without him.
Are we definitely saying the ship has sailed on extending any of these three guys? Now, Woodruff's a little more of a wild card because I do think the injury clouds. That makes it difficult to predict. Assuming health, is it completely out of the realm of possibility that Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, or Willie Adames gets extended to stay in Milwaukee?
Man, I still think Willie Adames
would be wise to do
would
it,
be,
right?
Yeah, well, yeah, he's coming off a down year, so the Brewers would be getting some good value there. But, like, man – he's been the guy out of all three of them. We talked about this last season. Like, Willie Adames, yeah, that's the guy I would extend. It's like, it's so hard to find good shortstops. He did not have a good offensive season, still rolled out of bed and was worth three wins.
Yeah.
that's really tough to find. And in a career worst offensive season, you know. So the Woodruff thing is maybe a bit interesting. Again, we'll need to see more on how the second opinion is on his shoulder. It's kind of concerning right now, just kind of the whispers and, you know, what isn't being said, I guess. But maybe there's a path there. Like, he's due $12 million or so in arbitration this year, and there's some uncertainty about his future. So maybe there's a path for the two sides to get together and work something out, like a 2-3 year extension or something like that. Yeah, I think that's that door's been opened up a little bit. But Corbin Burns, he's gone next year, 2 years.
How does this team get better on offense? Because you've looked ahead to the free agent class. It's bleak. It's not even just the starting pitching. Like, you want a corner infielder like the Brewers definitely could use. Okay, enjoy the stuff you see here. It's not markedly better than what they already have. So it's not like, I don't know if they're like, last year we were pounding the pavement for Justin Turner, and that would have really helped this Brewers team. But if we're being honest, a lot of the other names we threw out
didn't throw out any.
Well, I threw some out, I guess. I don't even know if I threw them out on this podcast. Yeah. There were names I really wanted.
The Jose Abreu thing didn't do that.
Jose Abreu.
Well,
man.
we weren't kicking the can on a 3 years of Jose Abreu.
Right.
Yeah.
But still, you know, that's the thing with free agency, is there are a lot of options out there that end up, like, free agent deals so rarely work out. They so rarely hit value. So this Brewers team is going to be averse to that anyway. We know that. That's not new. That's not secret. But how in the world are they going to just get more offense on this team? Because the kids they had did not improve over the course of the year. So the kids that they have coming next, I don't know what you can really rely on there. So who's going to hit home runs next year for the Milwaukee Brewers?
I think there's a variety of paths to getting better. You've got these rookies. You've got too many of them for the outfield. Like, depth is great, and you don't want to.
They're not all going to be back.
Kurt. It very quickly turns into like, oh, we don't have enough guys. But I think you got to trade some of them. That's your strength right now in your organization, is your organizational depth, especially in the outfield. And Jackson Chourio's not even up yet, and you already don't have playing time for all of them. So with Christian Yelich being back, it makes it even easier to send one or a couple off, and like the system is now it's so much better. The farm system is. I think you gotta part with some of these guys and get some bats that help you right now. I don't know if that's Pete Alonso. I don't think it's Pete Alonso. I just don't think that'll something the Brewers would do.
David Stearns, pick up the phone, please.
David Stearns on the other line. It's Matt Arnold.
It's not going to happen.
No, I just don't see the Brewers trading for a one year. Yeah, first baseman.
I mean, especially if they're not going to like keep Burns around, which again we say maybe could happen, but it's just if you're not keeping Burns, you're not.
Who says no?
Who says no?
Corbin Burns for Pete Alonso. I think the Mets would have to toss in. Yeah, the Mets would have to toss in someone else.
Really? I'm not sure.
Yes, because the Mets are going to then try to – I guess you don't know if you factor that in. But they're going to try to extend Burns, and a starting pitcher who is like one of the five best starting pitchers in baseball over the last 4 years and makes 30 starts a year. That's more value than Pete Alonso, I think.
I still think the Mets aren't going to give away their franchise cornerstone for 1 year of anybody.
They'll extend Corbin Burns.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Who says no, though?
It's already happening. We've got David Stearns. I know you listen to Microbrew.
I think the Mets say no. I think the Brewers say yes.
I don't know. I could see the Brewers also saying no, because they, I'm sure, are thinking in terms of, if we are going to part ways with him, we need to get multiple players who could be cornerstones for us down the road.
Well, Pete Alonso has cornerstone potential.
He does for the year 2024, and this team is not built to be at its peak in 2024. I still think it'll be a good year. I don't think it's going to be their best year in the next three. I'll say that much.
Okay. I don't remember what the question of the offense. How does it get better, right?
Yeah.
Jackson Chourio, but he'll be a rookie, so like I think we need to actually temper our expectations with that fellow a little bit.
Probably do.
Like, he was awesome at AA this year, but it still took him a while to – become awesome.
Yeah.
And then once he became awesome, they couldn't stop him.
There is that demarcation point of the new baseball coming, or the old baseball coming back to AA,
yes,
though.
There are tons and tons of reasons to get excited about him, but like also less tons of reasons.
Yes.
To like, he's going to be a rookie when he does come up. But yeah, there's like, I don't know who some of the other trade names would be off the top of my head, but that's probably the Brewers path once again. It's typically been like the bats that they've acquired have kind of been players that for one reason or another haven't been wanted by the organization they're with or by the rest of the league. Brian Anderson, non-tendered. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted him. William Contreras even was the odd man out in Atlanta. They didn't want him. Worked out great. Jesse Winker, they didn't want him in Seattle. That didn't work out.
Did not work out great.
So, like, just get good hitters. I don't know what the best means of doing that is, but, like, get guys that are not coming off bad years.
Weird random thing was Colton Wong for the Dodgers grounding out in a playoff game on Monday night against Ryan Thompson of the Diamondbacks. That was in the sixth inning just 5 days earlier. Jesse Winker had grounded out against Ryan Thompson in the seventh inning of a playoff game. Those two were traded for each other. I imagine no one thought either one of those guys would be on a postseason roster at this stage, but you never know.
They both made it. Weirdness. What a weird 2023 thing.
Yeah. I lost my train of thought, but I'm sure whatever. Oh.
Tyler Black.
yes, Tyler Black is still someone that I really wish had been on this playoff roster, but I understand, you know, there's a long-term considerations. Ultimately, you would have been adding somebody to the 40-man roster who's going to get like three at-bats maybe total, so I understand why that's going to happen.
It sounds like the Brewers are open to third base with him, and it's the flexibility allows them to be flexible a little
bit.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like, if a first baseman pops up, you can put Tyler Black there. It feels like he is in the equation right away next year to improve this offense.
I agree. Brian Anderson, for me, is a continuation of a trend. Before that, it was Andrew McCutchen. Before that, it was Jackie Bradley Jr. It's not that they're completely unwilling to sign guys. It's just they wait until the music stops from the musical chairs and there's a couple people still out there. And they'll say, okay, well, you know, we'll bring you on for maybe a slightly below market what you maybe could have made otherwise. And those guys have not performed. And to me, that feels like that has proven to be a losing strategy. Like, you've got to get involved. If there are guys that you think can help this team, then don't wait until nobody else gets them at this point. I realize that that's how the Brewers are constructed and how they try to, you know, find bargains everywhere they can, save wherever they can, but that's not working out for them. They got to stop.
There are good hitters traded every winter. The Brewers got maybe the best one last year.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It feels like it's going to be hard for them to
replicate that.
Do that again this year, but hey, maybe they will.
Yeah, that was an all-time heist. It should still be considered an all-time heist. We thought it was crazy in the moment. We still think it's crazy. Congratulations, Matt Arnold. You stole William Contreras. He is your best player. He's your team MVP, according to the Baseball Writers chapter of Milwaukee. That's us, Kurt. That's us. We voted on that.
Who dat?
It was not a difficult call. Okay, so the coaches. We asked the question at the press conference about the coaching staff. Did you ask that question? You might have.
Yes.
That was you. If everybody would be back. And obviously we don't have answers yet, but Matt Arnold said they anticipate everybody will be back. We don't often get into critiquing the coaches. I often feel like it's a very difficult thing to do because we just don't see everything that they do. You know, there's so, like, the third base coach, and we brought this up before, Jason Lane does not just wave runners home or not wave runners home. He works with guys all the time. It is impossible to really appreciate the depth of what these guys do. First base coach, obviously Quentin Berry, the same way. Outfielder, there's guys who work with outfielders, guys who work with catchers. You know, the bullpen coach is not just a guy catching. I mean, you get it. That said, the hitting coaches on this team have not had success getting the players to hit the baseball. And I realize it's more complicated than that. They went to two hitting coaches. Previously, there had been one. They've kind of cycled through hitting coaches. This feels like the age-old conversation of, do hitting coaches even matter? Is there anything they can do that actually functionally changes the course of a team's history? I think there is a pretty good argument that maybe they don't, that it's just you're just there to be a psychologist and lending some support and some maybe very minor tweaks that don't ultimately move the needle. But you can look at the hitting on this team and be like, they could probably use a change. And these guys just got here. You're not going to, like, I'm assuming, not going to move on that fast. But I don't know, Kurt. Should they? Like, what is your impression of the hitting coach situation? And should the Brewers continue to be bringing in new people to try and run that show?
The hitting coach world is an enigma to
me. Yes.
I don't understand it. Sometimes I try to pretend to understand it, but a lot of times I don't even try to pretend to understand it. Like, 2021 was a pretty good year for the offense. 2022 was a very bad year for the offense.
Yes.
How much of that is on the hitters themselves? How much of that falls on the shoulders of the hitting coaches? I feel like when pitching staffs are really bad, like, pitching coaches are, I feel like it's a little even easier to draw that, like, line to the performance than it is hitting coaches. Maybe that's just like a personal thing that I'm wrong about. But I don't know. I think it, to me, like when I think about it, it comes down to who are the people that can get the most out of your young players? What coaches can get the most out of your – whether that's who communicates with them the best, who understands them the best. Like that is the most important thing to the offense in 2024 in my opinion. I don't know what the answer to that is. I'm not in the hitting meetings. Like we're there, but we're not up by the batting cage. We don't go to the hitters meetings. You can talk to players, but even then, like there's only so much that of the real sense that you can get from it. So it feels like they're comfortable going with the two hitting coaches that they still have next year. It's been one good year, like I said, one bad year. I don't know. I don't know. What to expect?
Yeah.
Like, if they suddenly have a great year, is it because of the hitting coaches? I don't know.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. The biggest red flag, I think, is not seeing improvement from any of the young kids, namely Joey Weimer, Sal Frelick, and
Bryce Terang.
Yeah. Those guys were not improving offensively. They were great defensively for the most part, and there's a lot to dream on, you know, but offensively – we didn't see improvement. Now, it's always a nonlinear process. It's never about, you know, just one year. Matt Arnold talked about that, like that there wasn't any – he said anyway there wasn't anything that surprised them about that, that that was always going to be the case, and maybe it is. But those guys have to hit next year. And Garrett Mitchell too, but I mean to a lesser degree. Like I don't think – Garrett Mitchell's been awesome in the big leagues. I feel like though he's not going to be an offensive juggernaut. He's like your eighth or ninth hitter in the big leagues. Not to put a batting lineup spot on it, but like that's not a guy you're going to rely on to be a big offensive powerhouse. Same with Bryce Terang, but you still need to see some improvement. Bryce Terang, I still think, as a bat, unplayable this season. You know, going forward, you can't have that. It has to be improved, no matter how good his glove is. So that's a red flag. I want to go back to something you said last week about the farm system. We touched on it. Nine war for the guys who've been drafted since the year 2010. Offensive war. Since the year 2010, they have had it's a little bit more than that, but it's less than 10 from those players. Almost all of that can be attributed to Tyrone Taylor and Keston Hira. RIP guys. 2009, the year our cutoff. They actually outperform the everything that has come since has been outperformed by the 2009 draft. And all that is Chris Davis, Scooter Gennett, and actually a little tiny subtraction from Sean Halton, I think it is. So, like, two guys have outperformed Brewers.
An entire decade plus.
Yes. And I'm not talking about Chris Davis with the A's. I'm not talking about Chris Davis' subsequent success. Or Scooter Gennett with the Reds when he had four home runs in a game. Good for you, Scooter Gennett. That was amazing. These two guys, as Brewers, have more combined war as Brewers than everyone who's been drafted offensively since then. That's a massive indictment of this organization. But they're kind of in a position to move on from that, I think. I mean, they're offensive. Obviously, we're going to be getting some offensive rookies who are going to make some difference here.
Yeah, whatever was leaned upon in the scouting / R&D on the amateur side, maybe the player development side between, 2010 and – I guess maybe more like 2012 and 2018, 2019 was not good.
It was bad.
It was bad. Seems like the corner's been turned. But am I wrong to say until someone shows me to expect anything different, I'm not going to be a fool and believe that it's like they're going to be an offensive juggernaut with homegrown talent.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I cannot jump to that conclusion given not only what we saw from the rookies this year, but it just hasn't happened.
Right. That number, by the way, does bake in what the rookies did this year. You know, Frelick, Mitchell last year, like these guys are all included in that number.
That's offensive war too, yes.
Offensive war, yes. It's not just the defensive war. These guys are more valuable than their offensive war. Of course, I understand that.
But yeah, it's a way to look at like the hitting, this better way to look at the hitting side of it, how they performed.
It's been unspeakably bad. And producing bats.
Not great. Two above average hitters in the big leagues in over a decade, and one of them just got released as a minor
league free agent. That's right. And Tyrone Taylor, God love him, he's awesome. He's still hitting number 9 for a team in the playoffs. Like, he absolutely earned that spot. He had a great September. He deserves all the success.
And should be back next year, I think, too.
We'll be back next year, I think. But that's not somebody that's in the middle of your lineup. Credit to David Stearns for being able to address this offense that way at the big league level. I mean, obviously he had some holdovers, like Ryan Braun wasn't drafted, you know, prior to 2010. I've got to get my cell phone out of here. It keeps buzzing. It's driving me nuts. I'm sure it's driving listeners nuts.
You're too popular.
I am extremely popular at this moment, it seems. But still, just wild stuff. It is. Do you think Jackson Chourio is here day one next year?
No, I don't.
You don't?
Because they have so many outfielders. But I do think Tyler Black is here, and I do think Robert Gasser's here.
I agree with that. I do think Tyler Black is
here. If Robert Gasser's here, I'm just going to get this off my chest. If Robert Gasser's not in Milwaukee on opening day and he's not hurt, what is the point?
Yeah.
He has made like – he's been in AAA for a year and a month.
Yeah.
Never been injured. He's pitched great. Well, he's pitched well, I would say. I kind of understand not calling him up this year. I still think it might have been something they could have tried out, but I get it. But if he ain't here on opening day, I'd color me perplexed.
I don't see how he couldn't be because they're not going to have enough starting pitchers without him.
They need arms.
Yeah. Like,
Colin Ray is not walking through that
door. Well, he very well might walk through that door, but that's not good.
Someone's giving that man 2 years, and good for him. He deserves it.
Oh, my gosh. What if it's the Brewers? What if they're the ones to pay? Oh, man. I can't. Wade Miley would be nice if they could bring him back. But
I have thought about that. Mutual options never get picked up.
Right. But maybe.
Maybe. Wade Miley has been very clear that he prefers fit over money,
mm-hmm.
and he's shown it. Maybe there's a path. I don't think the $10 million mutual option is the path. I don't think the Brewers would pay that for just like, you know, he's not going to give you 30 starts.
Yeah.
But his two best career seasons by ERA – with the Brewers.
There you go.
So something about it works. He loves the fit. He'd like one of the best clubhouse presences they have had in recent memory. So maybe that'd be worth
it. He has expressed how much he loves it here.
A tire
I do
kicking.
Believe him. Yeah. We'll see what happens there. I do want to talk real briefly about Jesse Winker again. We, of course, mentioned him on the last podcast.
R.I.P.
Oh, man. Matt Arnold mentioned that his health was a consideration. At the end of the year, he was healthy and his at-bats at AAA were good. We had talked about that as a possible explanation for why he was chosen over Garrett Mitchell or Rowdy Tellez. You've had a week now to think about this because I do think if there's one – thing. Because, okay, like,
you've had a week to think about
let's back
Jesse
out.
Winker's
let's back
spot.
Out. Let's back out. I've spent way too much time thinking about it, to be quite honest, because
I think everyone as a whole has spent too much time talking about it.
Yes.
However,
100%.
Let's talk about it some more.
Let's talk about it just one more time. Okay, let's back up. The Brewers finished with enough of a cushion in the Central that there isn't like one game or one moment or one roster move that I think you could say changes their fortunes during the course of the season. We didn't know that at the time going through the season, but ultimately they landed in a kind of where their destiny appears to have put them, which is National League Central champion. So the only thing you can really obsess about is how these Diamondbacks games went in the playoffs. And I realize that's a fool's errand, but I'm still maybe wondering if they were crazy to make Jesse Winker, not only to put him on the roster, but to let him pinch hit. And then after it appeared he hurt himself, to let him pinch hit again the next night. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around
it. What they needed, and let me put it this way. I was someone who saw it similarly to the way that they saw it. I didn't think necessarily like over Rowdy would be the move. I thought maybe like – I think I probably over Owen Miller.
Yes.
Was what it ultimately came down to for me. And I still think that makes some sort of sense, like if you have Rowdy Tellez on the roster too especially. But what they needed was someone in the room who was what you were to our podcast when I posited this take.
Did you
Jesse Winker should be on the playoff roster.
Did you say that on accident?
You need someone in the room to say, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
We should not be – no, we cannot do this. Have you seen this fellow Abraham Toro? He also hit well in AAA.
Yes.
And he can hit homers. And he did not have a 500 OPS in the major leagues this year. And he will not get booed mercilessly if he makes an out.
Right. People might be like, who's that?
After the game one strikeout, I think I said this on the pod probably. But if I didn't, I'll repeat it. I could not believe after game one they had an out. They saw it. It was like, oh, no, this isn't the velo. He's not catching up to the velo. He looked injured. Yeah, he had an easy out.
Mm-hmm.
Put him on the shelf.
Yep.
Get Toro or Telez or some cat.
Kurt, I'm going to throw a conspiracy theory out at you. I'm pretty sure that's what Craig Council thought was happening when he said, oh, yeah, he's got an oblique injury after that game. After that game, he goes into the media room and he talked about, yeah, somebody asked, what is Winker's health situation? And Craig Council's like, yeah, there's an oblique issue. Like, I feel in my heart that everyone thought in that moment he was going to go on the injured list, and then something changed. Or not on the injured list, but just dropped from the postseason list, and something changed. I don't know.
Sometimes organizations, like, they have these players they just can't get rid of. Like, Billy Hamilton has been on the White Sox for, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
Maybe. It feels like the White Sox have a lot of guys, actually, that apply to this. Who's that fellow? Yolmer Sanchez was there for – like, they just have dudes that stick around forever. They can't get rid of them. So Jesse Winker was to the 2023 Brewers.
All right, before we get out of here, I'm going to throw a few random ideas your way. You can tell me if they're crazy or not. Number one, Devin Williams, trade candidate? ?
Not crazy.
Not crazy. They got Abner Uribe. I mean, if they want an elite level closer, that's what Abner Uribe could turn into at some point. We saw them trade Josh Hader. They did not get worse in the relief department without him in 2023. In fact, I think you could argue they're better. So, yeah. You think? That's maybe a good resource to get some talent. I don't know. Okay, next. Andrew Monasterio, starting third baseman next year.
Crazy.
I do think so. That's crazy.
That's on the roster play, possibly. I could see it. But, yeah, crazy.
Jefferson Caro, backup catcher next season.
Second half, yes.
You think second
Not
half.
Crazy. Crazy opening day, I think. He hasn't played at AAA.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think you can make that jump as a catcher. You could probably make it in a few other positions.
You just want him to keep getting at-bats.
Yeah.
I don't know if you like he's going to have to be a backup catcher here like right away if he comes up. So I think you just need him to get the at-bats.
Yeah. Andrew Chafin back next year in the bullpen.
I don't even have words.
This is the Jonathan Scope principle. Words. Now he's probably making too much money. But he's making
I don't have words for that.
What is he up to? Is this like a – he's I think $5.5 million? That's not going to happen.
The Justin Wilson one is interesting.
Maybe I was going to mention him too. He obviously didn't even get to throw a pitch, but that's still a veteran guy who's been around, has gotten through some injuries before, and he could – I mean, they were cursed with their lefties this year. We talked about
that. They were. I just don't know if the Brewers want to like – guarantee a 40-man spot for a guy that's – and not a bullpen spot for a guy that has no options. You don't have any flexibility with him, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Jansen Junk in the opening day rotation.
Not crazy.
Okay. You think?
A little murky.
Okay.
A little crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Not entirely crazy though, but a little crazy. Okay. Yeah.
This is not a crazy or not crazy, but tell me of these three, who do you expect back next year, if any? We've got Carlos Santana, Mark Canna, Josh Donaldson.
No.
No to all three.
I have been on the fence about Canna. I still think you pick up the option.
And trade him.
Part of me still thinks you just keep him on the roster, but I don't think the Brewers keep him. It's different between what I would do and what the Brewers would do.
Yeah. I mean, for context, that's a $10 million option, right?
Yeah. The age is a little bit of a
– Yeah, 35
a concern. However – look up his what's his yearly WAR been like the last? I don't know.
I mean, all I know is it's routinely better than you'd think it is.
It's probably routinely between like 2 and 4.
Yeah, he's a very low floor or high floor player.
Yeah, high floor, and I think that's a great way to fill out a large part of your roster, and then you take some shots with like trading for William Contreras.
Yeah, I think that's
trading
right.
For Lamont Wade. I'm going to put that one in the ether and see if.
So it's actually a little bit lower than I would have thought. Well, it was 2.2 WAR this year. That's fine. 2.5 in 22, 2.6 in 21, 1.6 in 20. Oh,
that's, dude, that's like a four, it's like that. A 4 WAR year though.
That's
right?
Actually a really good year. It's like a four, incredible. He's 4 in 2019, 1.7 in 2018, and not so good before that.
Okay, so he's been between 2 and 4.
Yeah.
What was his in 2019?
In 2019, he was 4.2. That was his.
So he's been like solidly between 2 and 4 every year.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see a bit of like an aging concern there. Like you see the trend going down.
Yeah.
But it's only what, like a 10 mil difference, 9 mil difference for the option?
Yeah.
And you could trade him. You could always trade him. I think you pick up the option for sure.
I have a feeling this team is going to trade for a player. And I don't know, Pete Alonso, not it. But they're going to trade for somebody who's going to be like – their frontline player coming into next year. So, I mean, not necessarily a better offensive player than Yelich or Contreras, but somebody that they are you know, putting out there in the face of the, like the face of the media guide. I don't know if that's it, but I have a feeling that's coming. That's just vibes. I don't have any like insight, but
that's tough for Hobie Milner. He was scheming to be the face of the media guide next year.
Yo, put that man on the face of a media guide. He's incredible. Not only is he an awesome dude, but he's great at his job.
And he's inspirational to all of us because he does not look like a baseball player. Like a major league, like he does not look like a 1.7 ERA major league baseball reliever, and yet he is.
He is a Star Wars geek, and he kind of that you meet him, and you're like, yeah, that tracks. But he's tremendous, tremendous pitcher, huge for the Brewers. He'll be back. He'll be back next year.
Yes,
I gotta think.
Oh, absolutely, pick up that tender.
Of course you do. Okay, Kurt, I think that's it. Any last thoughts before? I mean, not like we're going completely into the offseason. We still have a little bit. I wanna reconvene here toward the end of the World Series when we're talking about the Arizona Diamondbacks hoisting that trophy and waving that flag. But anything else you want to throw in before we get there?
No, I feel like we successfully mentioned like everyone's name on the 40-man almost.
You think
except
so?
Except for some relievers in this episode.
I'm racking my brain to see if like –
who did we miss?
We didn't say Clayton Andrews.
Well, some reliever – oh, that's too bad.
You know,
I don't know how long he'll be on the 40-man, late in the
it's so funny because late in the conversation with Matt Arnold today, somebody had a Christian Yelich question, and Christian Yelich's name had not come up for the first 26 minutes or whatever, and it was a very weird like, oh yeah, Christian Yelich, like last year, the year before that, that's all anybody wanted to talk about.
We did briefly talk about him just to say he's back.
Caleb Buechele, Bosley, sorry. I'm reverting to phonetic there. We did not say Caleb Bosley or J.B. Bukowski.
Anyone that will be on the 40-man on January 1st.
Trevor McGill. Yoel Pyatt.
Trevor. Okay, so we missed some relievers.
Ethan Small, yeah.
We missed some relievers.
Thiago Vieira.
I think we got all the bats.
Yes, we did say Victor Caratini at some point, did we not?
Well, I don't think we did, but also he'll be gone.
Yeah, Victor's going to get paid, man.
Good for him, too.
Yep, Blake Perkins.
Oh, Blake Pratt's the one we missed. Yeah, there needs to be more Blake Perkins discourse, and I'm being dead serious.
He's
about
so
that.
Good on defense. He's such a great player on defense. He can run.
They have so many outfielders, and here I am saying pick up Mark Canna's option like a madman.
Yeah. Switch hitter. I don't think Blake Perkins is getting a ton better, but there's a chance he does get better, and then he becomes a very valuable player.
He's valuable as a six outfielder.
Agreed.
He's got two options left.
Yeah. Yeah. If he can just get that bat going a little bit, he looks like – this is what happened when Logan Schaefer came up, and I was like, wow, that guy just looks like a big leaguer in the box.
He was supposed to be good.
I was very wrong. But that's what Blake Perkins looks like. He looks like a big leaguer in the box. He looks like he belongs there, man. Maybe.
All right. We hit everyone.
Blake Perkins breakout season 2024. Let's go. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Sorry that my phone kept buzzing the whole time. But my phone, my watch, everything. We will again. We will do this one more time before the month of October is over or shortly thereafter because we're going to soak in some of this playoff baseball. We'll come back. We still have the preseason projections that we've got to revisit.
We don't have to.
I'm super excited about that. That'll be a very short segment. Don't get too excited, but it will be fun. And then we will do maybe one more off-season preview. And then we'll, you know, take a break. Take a break on the microbrew. No baseball for us, sadly. Brewers, of course. National League Central champions did not win a game 0-2 in the postseason. We will be back again soon. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Bye-bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast. which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.